Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Ayin Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Before we commence with today's Shiur that begins from the top of Daf Ayin Vav, it is essential to have available a book of illustrations that accompany this Maseches, and particularly the material for Daf Ayin Vav. One will find that even a superficial understanding of this Daf will be hard to achieve without some type of illustrative aid. Now the Mishnah. Behemo shenechtechu ragleho min ha'arkuva ulamato ksheira. A behema, cow, sheep, or goat, whose legs, whose hind legs, have been cut from the arkuva ulamato. The term arkuva is something that the Gemara will discuss. Suffice it to say that the leg of the animal is made of, we'll say, three sections. There's the uppermost section called the kulis, a middle section called the etzem ho'emtsois, the middle bone, and the bottom section, which is known as the arkuva hanimkeresim harosh. It's literally the bone that is sold together with the sale of the head of an animal. Being that the head of an animal has very little meat on it, butchers were known to add into the sale, throw into the sale the lowermost, the lowest section of the animal's leg as well. So that's as far as the arkuva is concerned. Here the Mishnah says that the animal's leg that's cut at below the arkuva, below a particular joint, is kosher. Min arkuva ula malo psula. If, however, the leg is cut above the joint, then it is unacceptable. It is unkosher. V'chein shenital tzomas hagidin. Likewise, if the section of the leg that has the confluence of sinews has been removed, then it's unkosher. Nishbar ho'etzem, if the bone broke. Im roiv bosor kayom, shchitoso metaroso. If the majority of the surrounding flesh is intact, then the shchita enables you to eat this dangling limb as well. V'im lav, if you don't have rov basar, ein shchitaso mitaharoso, then the shchita will not be effective in enabling one to eat the limb. We now turn to the Gemara. Before learning the Gemara, we will take advantage of one of the features of our Shas Ozer marked Gemaras. You could see we have titles to each sugya, and they're written on the outside margin under the heading No Se, which refers to a title or topic heading. In this case, we have written Behemo Shenechtechu Ragleho, an animal whose legs have been cut. Machlukis Amoroim Mahu Lamato Ulamalo Min Ho'arkuva. We'll see a Tanaic, an Amoraic controversy as to what is meant by below and above the arkuva. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Omar Rabbi Chia. We should take note that structurally we have two versions of what Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Omar Rabbi Chia says, and this is indicated by the Roman numeral number 1 and 2 that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Within the Gemara itself, we also have a regular 1 and 2 that are circled. This represents the opinions that we have under the number 1, the Roman numeral number 1 heading. So the first opinion of what Lamata and Lamala are referring to, he says, Lamata equals Lamata min ha'arkuva, and Lamala equals Lamala min ha'arkuva. So far, this is not clear. The Gemara itself explains, Be'ezo arkuva amru, when referring to above and below the arkuva, which arkuva is being referred to? Ba'arkuva hanim keres im harosh. We're looking at, then, the lowermost section, the lowest section of the leg, the arkuva, referring to the, we'll call it the lowest joint, so that if the animal's leg is cut, nechtechu, below that lowest joint, then the animal is kosher. If the animal's leg has been cut above that lowest joint, then it will be unkosher. Now, being cut above that, what we call the arkuva hanimkeres im harosh, essentially, it's cut into an area where you have the confluence of sinews, which is known as the tzomes hagidin. A second approach to this lamato lamalo is ulo amara bioshaya, kenegdoi begomol nikar. That translated is, the joint referred to in the Mishnah is most visible when looking at the equivalent of it in a camel. We're not referring to a camel per se, because a camel is an unkosher variety animal. But we're referring to the equivalent part on a cow, that in a camel, the joint is bulging, is very clear. And very simply put, that's a reference to the upper joint, and therefore this particular opinion, Ulam Rabbi Shaya, would be saying that if the leg is cut above that upper joint, it would be in effect cut off in the kulis or in the yerech, that would render it unkosher. And if it's cut below that, namely it would be cut in the upper part of the etzem ha'emtsoyis, and the upper part of the middle bone, which is below that uppermost joint, then it would be kosher. We have included in our Shas Ozer some very crude diagrams on the inside margin, but we are not recommending to rely solely on these diagrams as the sugya unfolds. There will be many more points and details that will be referred to in the Gemara that we do not have illustrated. But as far as reference points are concerned, you can glance at those diagrams to see the different points reflected in these two shitas. Continuing in the Gemara, Ula the Rav Yehuda. Ula, which was the second of these two opinions, says to Rav Yehuda, who brought in the first opinion, Bishlama ladidi, things work out well according to me, says Ula, de amina, that I said kinegdo begomel nikar. I was referring to, in explaining the Mishnah of above and below, I made reference to that upper joint. Hainu dekotoni, I therefore understand why the Mishnah makes reference to a third problem as far as legs. V'chein shenital tzomes hagidin, an animal whose tzomes hagidin has been removed. In other words, that's a third section. Just to go over this point, according to Ula, there was reference to the leg being cut above the upper joint and below the upper joint, and a third section that the Mishnah refers to as the Tzomas Hagidin, which you can see on the diagram is a third location. Ela lididcha, but according to you, and he's addressing Rav Yehuda, he says, my v'chein shenital tzomas hagidin. What is intended by this reference to the removal of the tzomas hagidin, when in fact, according to you, the leg being cut above the joint is in effect a cut into the tzomas hagidin? So that would have already been referred to by the Mishnah. Why is there a need to make reference to the Chen Shenit al Soma Segidin? Omar Lay, Rav Yehuda responds that the Mishnah is referring to, in fact, two different problems. Rekuva below Soma Segidin, that would be a break in the joint, the Chaticha, it's broken without impairing the Soma Segidin. And Vitzoma Segidin below Rekuva, or another situation where the Tzoma Segidin has been removed without impairing the leg itself. So as far as I am concerned, the Mishnah is referring to two separate problems in that one area. So the Gemara asks back, Ula responds, Ula says, well, how can you say that? V'ha nechtechu katani. The expression nechtechu is mashma, is implies a complete cut, a complete severing, which would mean the joint with the tzomes hagidin. So you can't say that the Mishnah refers to them as separate problems. Ishtik. Well, with that response, Rav Yehuda was silenced. Labosar denofik. When Ula left Omar, Rav Yehuda said to himself, he says, "My taimo lo amri lei. Why did I not say to him as follows? Lamato equals lamato min ha'arkuva. As we explained before, that's simply a cut below the joint. Lamalo equals lamalo mitzomas hagidin. That lamalo means above the tzomas hagidin, and therefore we would have three different points. Once again, you'd have lamato means under the under the bottom joint, and lamalo means above the tzomas hagidin, and the reference in the Mishnah of nital tzomas hagidin is in the tzomas hagidin itself. Hodar Omar, then Rav Yehuda responded to his own recommendation. He says, no, I couldn't have said that. V'lo amri lei, did I not give him an answer originally? The Omali Nechtechu Katani, and he knocked off my first answer based on the language of the Mishnah, the word Nechtechu, rebuffing what I had originally suggested. Well, Hochanami, by the same token, this reference, this Hezber, this explanation of Lamala Mitzomas again will be rejected on language grounds as well. Min Ho'arkuva Ulamalo Katani. That expression means that the cut is immediately above the arkuva, immediately above the joint, which is, once again, mashma implies right into the tzomas hagidin, not above the tzomas hagidin. So at this point in the Gemara, Ula seemed to have a strong response to Rav Yehuda's explanation. Rav Popa Masni Hochi. Rav Popa has a different version of the original Rav Yehuda statement, as follows: Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Omar Rabbi Chiya, Lamato, the Mishnah that said if the leg is cut, Lamato, it's kosher. That means Lamato min ho'arkuva umitzomas hagidin, and Lamalo means Lamalo min ha'arkuva umitzomas hagidin, and the word above means above the arkuva and the tzomas hagidin, v'chein shenita al tzomas hagidin, and likewise there will be it will be rendered unkosher, unfit, if the tzomas hagidin is removed. The arkuva gufa kideula ama raboshaya, and which arkuva are we referring to? It is that upper joint. So that if we go over these points, it comes out that the explanation here, the second version of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, would be similar to the explanation that we gave in the first Lashon under Ula's name. So that, and now to go over the details, we're saying if the leg is cut above the upper joint, it's rendered unfit. if it's cut below the upper joint, it's still kosher. And if it's, let us say, severed or cut, or the nital soma sagidin, at an even lower point, it in fact would render it unfit. So we have a situation where the uppermost point renders it unfit, the point under that, it's still fit if it's cut there, and at a still lower point, it would be unfit. To this, the Gemara asks, Umi ikomidi, is there anything? The afilu, the ilu madli posik le v'choya. That if you, madli means to raise, to go up. At a higher point, if you cut off the leg, it will live. Mitzi posik le umesa. And cut off the leg at a lower point, and it would die. In other words, could that be? It sounds a little strange on the surface of things. In other words, the higher up you go, you would figure the closer you are getting to vital organs. The lower you go on the leg, you would think that you are distancing yourself from a source of vitality. Omar Rav Ashi. To this, Rav Ashi says, Trefus ko medamis lahadodi. Within the realm of trefus, which we're discussing now, things that render an animal unfit, are you attempting to compare one trefa to another? Ein omrim betrefos zu doime lezu. Within the realm of trefus, we don't say that one thing can be paralleled to another. Sherei chotcha mikan umesa, chotcha mikan v'chaya. We have situations where a cut takes place on one side, and it will die, and a cut takes place at another point, and it will still live. So even though just by a superficial observation, you don't see that it should make any difference, but the oral tradition that governs this realm known as trefus says that there is a distinction, so that one shouldn't, in the realm of trefus, apply we'll call simple observational logic to serve as a source of distinction. The Elu Hain Tzomes Hagidin. Now the Gemara wants to focus on that aspect of Trefus. The Mishnah mentioned if the Tzomes Hagidin is removed. In explaining this line or this phrase, Rashi explains. The elu hein somas hagidin mehechon maschio vehechon kol koyach chius hagidin. At what point does the somas hagidin begin, and at what point does it end, with reference to the vitality that the Mishnah is referring to? So, as far as this issue is concerned, what are the boundaries, we'll say, of the area called somas hagidin? Here too we will see a number of opinions, and once again we can't emphasize enough how important it is to have a source of illustrations to assist in understanding this Gemara. Rabo Omar Avashi de Agarmo Ulevar. This is a reference to a section of Gidin, of sinews, that appear, and they appear at the area right above the lower joint on the animal's hind leg. At a certain point, the sinews are clinging to the bone. In fact, there's very little meat on the leg at that point, at the point of the joint itself. So this particular approach says that from the point that the sinews leave the bone, leave their clinging to the bone, and start, let's say, appearing within the meat, but they still are together, or close to one another, that's called the Tzomas Hagidin. At a certain point, they then spread out, diverge from one another, that would be considered above the area of vitality, for our purposes. So, the agarmo means on the bone, that as Rashi says, Mishiyotzen agive mino etzem, from the point that the sinews leave, they're clinging to the bone, and Rashi says umahalchin bebosar, and then start to continue in the flesh, in the meat. Sho etzem lamalom in aperek orum below bosar kishtayim sholoshitz bois vagidim aduken bo. The bone above the joint for around two or three fingers width is without meat, and the sinews are clinging to it. Umimokom shemisparshin mimenu lamalo maschil, and from the point that the sinews start to leave, they're clinging to the bone. That's where tzomas hagidin begins. The cholzman shein smusin ukshurin ashoshiyachad, and as long as the sinews are rather close to one another, kori tzomas ad mokom shemispashtin umispatzlim zemizek and beforish lekamon, until the point that the sinews then split from one another and go in their own continued way into the meat of the leg. The next opinion, Rabo bar Rav Huna Omar Rav Ashi, as we see in the Gemara, this is a second opinion. He says, the agarmo ulagav. That's a lower reference to describing the Tzoma Segidin than the first opinion. It's a reference to the point that they are clinging to the bone until the joint, as Rashi says, "Ein nekron sumes elamokom adikosim beetzem mimokom she needokin bo ad haperek." In other words, it would in effect be from the lowest point of the previous shita, would be the highest point of this particular shita, namely from the point that they are clinging to the bone before they leave the bone downwards till the joint. Now the next opinion, Rava brei de Rabo bar Rav Huna Omar Rav Asi de Ilui Arkuma. The Tzomas Hagidin is that area that's on the arkuma. The arkuma is in effect a very small bone that joins the two longer bones constituting the lowest and middle bones. So this is a small bone. Rashi describes this as the ulu arkuma. He says etzem koton hu, a small bone hamachaber as haprokim, that connects the joints or connects the sections of bone. Umashi yesh min hagidin ulamalo heimenu ad mokoim shemispashtin, and all the area of joints of sinews of gidin from this small bone, which by the way is the lowest point that we have made reference to thus far. So all of the gidin from this bone, this arkuma, from that point upwards, ad mokum shemispashtin, until the point that they start to fan out, kori tzomis v'chol mokum shechtechu sham trefa, and any point from this arkuma up till the point that the sinews start to spread out into the flesh, it would create a trefa. The high shiur nofish mikulu, this shiur, this boundary and area would be the greatest of areas in terms of including the most leg area that would result in trefus if cut. Shemasu miyad mino arkum ulamalo v'hu lamato misofo etzem emtsoi. We're talking about a point that is below the end of the middle joint. V'nechtach bein etzem emtsoi la'oiso arkum trefa. If you have reached the end of the middle bone, you're at the end of the middle bone, and at an area right above that small bone, if it's cut there, that would create a trephus. Continuing in the Gemara, Yosef Humra Bonon, Kamei Rabbi Abba, This is a reference to another shita, someone who was seated in the presence of Rabbi Abba v'Yosef v'Komar and said, "The arkuma gufa." This is a reference to the cutting of the sinews opposite that arkum itself, that little bone. In other words, up till now we were referring to the point at which the little bone joins with the little bone joins with the middle large bone. Here he's going even lower and saying that the giddin that are opposite the little bone itself will create trephus. That if it's cut at that point, if the tzomas giddin is cut there, or to be more accurate, the tzomas, that which is opposite the arkuma itself, this little bone, would constitute tzomas hagidin. Omar le Rabbi Abba, lo tatsitsu le. So Rabbi Abba said to those around him, and he said, don't listen to him. Hochi Omar v'Yehuda, hecha de pari tabochi. He said that Tzomas HaGiddin is defined from the point at which the leg of the animal is attached to a hook from which they start the skinning of an animal. So this idea of the animal suspended from a hook, where the hook is hooked into the leg, was known to the Gemara. And Gemara furthermore points out, V'hainu de Rava Bre de Rabba Bar Rav Huna Omar Rav Asi. That was his point, which was Lamala, which was above the Arkuma. From that point above the Arkuma starts the Tzomes Hagidin. Omar Vihuda Omar Shmuel. Tzomes Hagidin Shomru. Here we have another description of Tzomes Hagidin. Mokom Shagidin Tzomtsin. From the point at which the Gidim are very close to one another. The Ad Kama, well, how far up does it go? Omar Le Hahu Midurabonon Rav Yankiv Shmei. Rav Yankiv said, Ki Avinon Be Rav Yehuda, when we were studying at the yeshiva of Rav Yehuda, Omar Lon, he told us the following, Shimu Mini Milsa, listen to me, I want to tell you something, to Migavra Rabba Shmueli, that I heard from a great man, Umanu Shmuel, and who is the great man? It was Shmuel. Tzomes Hagidin Shomru equals Mokom Shagidim Tzomtsin Bo. Tzomes Hagidim is the area from which the Gidim, these leg sinews, are close to one another. Umi Mokom Shetzomtsin Ad Mokom Shemispashtin. From the point they are close together until the point they start to diverge. Vekamo, and how much is that? Amar Abaye Arbo'o Batidi Betura. It's four finger widths when you're dealing with an ox. Bedakomai, what about with a small creature like a sheep or a goat? Amar Abaye. Now Abaye lists a series of descriptions of to know, to be able to identify when you're dealing with a behema daka what would constitute the tzomas hagidin and what not. So we have numbered off a number of points that he raises or descriptions. You'll see 1 through 4 listed, and under each one of them you have what is and what is not tzomas hagidin. So Abaye says bliti havu tzomas hagidin. That means literally when they're protruding, or rather, more accurately, we say before they're absorbed into the meat, that where the sinews are not yet absorbed into the meat, that's tzomas hagidin. Bli, once the sinews get absorbed into the meat, then that's no longer the sensitive area we are describing as tzomas hagidin. That's bli, lo havut tzomas hagidin. Likewise, ashuni, where the gidin, the sinews are hard, havu tzomas hagidin. Rikichi lo havu tzomas hagidin. After the sinews enter the meat, they are softer there, and that's what's referred to by rikichi, and that's no longer considered tzomas hagidin. Alimi havu tzomas hagidin. If they are thick, relatively speaking, that would be tzomas hagidin. However, ketini, thin, lo havu tzomas hagidin. Chivri havu tzomas hagidin. If they're white in color, then that would be tzamasiyin lo chivri lo havu tzamasaginin. If they're no longer whitish, that's no longer tzamasaginin. Mar Barav Ashi Omar, here at the top of Omid Beis, the Gemara quotes Mar Barav Ashi. He says, Kevon Dezigi Afagav Delo Chivri. If they are, we'll say, translucent, or Zigi is clear. Rashi even uses a French word which sounds like the English word. They're clear, slightly whitish, even if it's not actually white. Omar Ameimar Mishmei Derav Zvid Tlosa Chuti Havu. We're continuing in our description of the Tzomas again, and he says there are three sinews, three strings literally. Chad Alimo Utrek Tini. One is noticeably thicker than the other two, and two are thin. Ipsik Alimo Ozdo Rov Binyan. If the thick one is severed, is cut, then rove of the structure has gone. Binyan would mean rove of the quantity accounted for by the gidim is gone. And you could see from this description that the thick sinew is more than twice any one thin sinew. So that if the thick one is cut, so that you have more than 50% of sinew matter cut. Ifsik Kitini, if the two thin ones are cut, then Asda Rov Minyan, then the majority number-wise has been cut, and hence it would be a trefa. Mar Barav Ashi Masni Lekula. He has a more lenient version of this phenomenon. Ifsik Alimo, if the large one is cut, Ho'iko Rov Minyan, you still have the majority of number-wise, you still have the two thin ones intact. So it would not constitute a trefus if just the large, thick one is cut. And likewise, ifsik katini ho'iko rov binyan. If the two thin ones are cut, you nevertheless still have the thick one that's still there, which constitutes rov of the mass. Now we turn to birds and the issue of Tzomas Hagidin. Be'oifois shitzar chuti havu. When it comes to birds, you have 16 strands that constitute the Gidin. E posik chad minayu trefa. With regard to a bird, if even one of them is severed, it would render it a trefa. Omar mar Bar Ravashi, Hava Koimno Kamei Da'abo. Mar Ravashi says, I was once in the presence of my father, Ravashi, Va'aisu Lekamei Oifo, and they brought in front of him a bird, Ubodak, he checked the Ashkach Bei Chamesar, and he found in the bird 15 sinews. There was one that was strange or different, was thicker than the others. Naftse va'ashkach tre. He, in effect, split it and found that there were two. In other words, he did some. He manipulated it. Not that he actually cut it knowingly, but he manipulated it, and as a result of the manipulation. In fact, it appeared as two, and hence you have the proper number of 16 altogether. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Tzoymes Hagidin She'omru Beruboi. This expression in and of itself is not clear, and in order to explain that, the Gemara asks, my Rubo. But before going on in the Gemara, we want to just take note of a structural phenomenon. First of all, we see Roman numerals that accompany this piece of Gemara to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, a 1, and a few lines later, a number 2, and on that line you notice a squiggle-underlined expression, V'ika D'Amri. In our Gemara markings, when the Gemara presents some type of alternative, as you have seen already in today's shiur, the use of the squiggle underline is used to emphasize the point at which the second or additional version appears. In addition, we have a diamond use of in this Gemara. If we glance to the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, we see the diamond featured, and we've written Shnei Lashonos B'Divrei Rav, two versions of Rav, Tzaymas Hagidin Shomru Berubo, in trying to explain what he meant. So continuing in the Gemara, by Rubo, Rubo means the majority. What does he mean? So we say, Roiv Echod Mehem. That means if one of them, one of the Gidin is severed, it would make it into a trefa. If the rove, let's go over that point again. If rove of one of them, one of the leg sinews is severed, the majority is severed, the majority of one is cut, even though it's still attached, but its rove has been severed, that will render it a trefa. Ki amrisa kamei de Shmuel, Rav Yehuda, who initially learned by Rav, later he went to learn by Shmuel, so he says, when I said this over to Shmuel, Omar li, he responded as follows, michti, tlosa havu, there are three sinews. Ki mifsik chad minayu legamri ha'iko trei, if one of them is completely cut, you still have two. So he disagrees with Rav's ruling of stringency. The Gemara, however, points out, Taimo di kotre. It will still be kosher because you still have two that are still fully intact. Ha leko tre lo. But if you don't have if you don't have full two that are fully intact, then you will have a trefa. Upliga de Rav Noi. This approach is at odds with Rav Noi. The Omar Rav Noi, Omar Shmuel. This is another version of Shmuel. Somes Hagidin, Afilu Lo Nishtayer Bo Elo Kechut Hasarbol Ksheira. With regard to severed or cut, partially cut, Somes Hagidin, he says even if very little remains intact, it's still kosher. Literally, chut hasarbol is the string used to tie closed a sarbol, a type of cloak. For the sake of illustration, many people have coats with hoods on them, and there's a string running around the neck part of the hood to fasten the hood to one's head. You have a string that is a characteristic of coats, and that particular size was known to the Gemara, but suffice it to say, it's a reference to a minimum amount of gid that remains uncut. So the Rav Noi version of Shmuel is expressing a greater leniency than the first version of Shmuel, where he said that you still have to have two sinews completely attached. Now, v'ika di Amri, my Rubo, another version of Rav's original statement is Roiv kol echod ve'echod. Not Rov of one of them, but you have to have in other words, this is a more lenient opinion, whereas the first opinion, the Roman numeral 1, said that there will be trefus if Rov of one of them is cut, the majority of one is cut. Here, in order to become treif, to become unfit, you would have to have the majority of each one being cut. Ki amriso kamei de Shmuel, omali. Shmuel responded to this and said, michti, let's look into this. Tlosa havu. There are three sinews. Ho'iko tlosa dechol chad v'chad. That means, even if you have a situation like this where the rove of each one is cut, you still have the minority of it still attached. In other words, all three are still attached, albeit by a very thin strand. It would still be kosher. And now this version of Shmuel, Misaya le Rav Noi, this will support Rav Noi's version. The Omar Rav Noi, Omar Shmuel, Tzomas Hagidin Sha'omru, the issue concerning the sinews, Afilu lo nishtair bo elo kechut hasar bo kshira. Even if a small amount remains attached, it still is kosher. So we see that this second version of the Shmuel presentation will be in conformity to what Rav Noi said regarding Shmuel. As we continue in the Gemara, we now make reference to another part of the Mishnah, Nishbar Ho'etzem, and the Mishnah went on to say, Im Roiv Haboser Kayam, Shchitosu Metaroso, V'im Lav Ein Shchitosu Metaroso. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, on the outside margin, the Nosei, Machloikis Rav Shmuel Be'inyan Nishbar Ho'etzem. Regarding the issue of the broken bone, we'll see a controversy between Rav and Shmuel. And the pratim, the details are, number one, mikum hashever, the location of the break, and number two, or ubosar mechapin al chelik mehabosar. The or and bosar are mechapin al chelik mehashever, on the part of the break. Turning to the Gemara, Omar Rav Lamalo min harkuva imrov haboser kayam ze veze mutar. When you're dealing with a bone break above the joint, if you have rov of the flesh intact, then the limb and the animal will be allowed. In other words, the shechita will allow you to eat the animal and the dangling limb as well. And that's because you have the majority of the break is surrounded by the flesh. The imlav, and if you don't have rov boser kayam, then ze veze oser. The animal and the limb are not going to be allowed. Lamata min ha'arkuva, below the joint, if you have the break at that point. Then, im rov habosur kayom, ze veze muter, if rov of the flesh is intact, then the animal and the joint will be allowed through the shechita. Im lav, if you don't have rov basar at this point, which is a break below the joint, aver osur ubehemo muteris, the limb will remain forbidden, but in this case the animal will be muter, allowed through the shechita. Ushmuel omar, bein lamalo, bein lamata, whether above the joint or below the joint. Im rov habosur kayam, ze veze muter. Im lav, if not, then aver osur ubehemo muteris. Now, according to Shmuel, you see a leniency. Namely, if you have above, you have a break above the joint, and you don't have rov basar intact, the behemo will still be muter. Maskif lo Rav Nachman l'Shmuel. Rav Nachman raises an objection. According to Shmuel, let's read that again with the right punctuation. Maskif lo Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman raises an objection regarding the sheet of Shmuel. He says, l'Shmuel, according to Shmuel's approach, yomru aver mimeno mutal ba'ashpa umuteres. How is it that you can have a limb that's broken above the joint? And in effect, you're telling me that you're going to have to throw out the aver, that the aver itself will be forbidden, and the rest of the animal allowed. the fact that you're throwing out the aver, especially and focusing on the case of cut above the joint, one would think that it's an issue of a vital section has been broken, and you're throwing it out, and yet you're going to be able to eat the rest of the animal. Omar le Rav Acha ba Rav Huna le Rav Nachman. Rav Acha says to Rav Nachman, you who are raising an objection to Shmuel, le Rav Nami Yomru, according to Rav as well, there is the same situation. Ever mimeno mutal ba'ashpa umuteres, where you are throwing out the bone, or that limb, and the bottom part of the leg, and you're still eating the animal. So why do you focus your question on Shmuel? Omar le, hochi ko amino. Thusly, I am raising my objection. In other words, the problem with Shmuel is as follows. Ever shechayo mimeno mutal ba'ashpa umuteres. Namely, a cut above the joint is a cut in a vital section of the animal. It's a situation where if it's cut there, you have a break over there. It's a break in a section that could lead to the animal's death. And yet, you're saying that if you shecht it before it dies, the animal itself will be mutter, even though the bone or the leg is thrown out. But the emphasis is what we've dashed, underlined, shechayo mimeno. It lives. It's a section that if cut would lead to the animal's death. And you're saying, well, that if you shecht it before it dies, it'll be kosher. And that is what arouses my amazement. Shochu mitam. It was sent from Eretz Yisrael, Hilchuso Kavose Derav, that a bone break, and where you don't have Rov Basar above the joint, Ze Vze Aser, the limb and the animal will be forbidden. Hadur Shalchu Kavose De Shmuel. Then they sent, like Shmuel's ruling, which was more lenient, Hadur Shalchu Kavose Derav. And then they sent, once again, like Rav, with the more stringent ruling. The Aver Atzmo Mitame B'masa. And the limb itself will not be included in the Shechita. In other words, the slaughtering of the animal, where you have a break, in that bone, and you don't have rov basar, the majority of the break being surrounded by meat. The shechita, we've used an expression in the past called shechita oisa nipul. It means that when the shechita is taking place, it completes the falling off of the limb, so that the shechita, which is designed to prevent tumas nevela from setting in, it won't be effective in this case. The shechita won't accomplish that, and therefore the aver will be considered like an aver min achai, and that communicates tumas masa. That's a form of tumah that's characteristic of a nevela, which means that even if you are not actually touching the limb, but you're simply supporting the limb, carrying the limb without directly touching it, you will in fact absorb tumah. Mosiv Rav Chisda, an objection is raised by Rav Chisda from the following Tanaic source. And you can see we have a frame around this section indicating that this is of Tanaic nature. And it's a quote from a Mishnah that we had a number of Dapim ago. And it's in fact the quote from the middle of a discussion, but we will focus on the main point as we go on. Loi, im tiharto, im tihara shchitas trefa, oisoi ve'esho aver hamedul doba. If you say that shchita is effective in preventing tuma to an animal that's a trefa and the dangling limb, that's because the dangling limb is a part of the animal itself. Tetair esho ubar davar she'eno gufa. Should you expect the shchita to prevent tumah in the case of a fetus whose limb is extended at the point of the shechita, limb is extended outside of its mother. We don't have to focus right now on the issue of the fetus and its extended limb. That was the subject of previous sugyas. However, in this source, you see we've dashed underline v'esha Abraham edudoba. We see that shechita is effective in preventing tumah from setting in on a dangling limb. So, in other words, ein shechita oise nipul. This would be a challenge to that which was said just above. So, if you compare the two dashed underline expressions, you see the problem. The first dashed underline has said ve'ever atzmo metame b'masa, and this dashed underline says ve'esho Abraham edudol ba is tahor as a result of the shechita. Omar le Rabba. Rabba turns to Rav Chisda and says, haduri apirchi lomaloch. Why do you have to seek out a foreign source in order to raise an objection? In other words, the source that Rav Chisda was citing was in effect a braisa. We might not have initially explained it accurately, but as far as Rashi is concerned, he explains that this source that Rav Chisda is raising an objection from is from a braisa. Oisiv mimasnisin. You could have raised an objection from a mishnah. The difference between them, even though they're both Tanaic, is that a braisa was lesser known material to the Amoraim, and mishnayos were very well known to the Amoraim. So you could have asked your question from a more obvious source. Now, this source, just by way of introduction, we would understand that it mentions there before what's printed in the Gemara. We've written between the lines, Ho'ever va'boser hamidul dolim, referring to a situation where we have either a limb or flesh that's dangling from an animal. Nishkata behema huchshuru b'domeha, the very Rabbi Meir, through the slaughtering of the animal, the dangling meat and limb become muchshur lekabel tumah, to be kabel tumas ochlin. The fact that something is subject to this realm of tumah, tumas ochlin, tumah that's characteristic of food, shows us that it does not have tumas nevela. In fact, if there was tumas nevela, you wouldn't have to have it muchshar lekabel tumah. Muchshar is a function of it becoming susceptible to absorbing tumah. If it had tumas nevela, it wouldn't need hechsher. It itself is a source of tumah. When you see something described as needing hechsher, making it a candidate or making it susceptible to tumah absorption, you're in effect saying it doesn't have its own inherent tumah to it. So we see from here, there's another shita, Reb Shimon Omer, lo huchshuru. Reb Shimon says that the shechita is not machshirit, but we want to focus right now on what Rabbi Meir is telling us, in effect, that the shechita has an effect on the dangling limb. So instead of showing this point from a braisa, where we saw this idea, you can see that here in a mishnah. Omale, so Rav Chisda responds, the reason I didn't raise my objection from the mishnah is masnisan ika lidchuye. The mishnah, as a source of a question, could be rebuffed kidedachinon, as was done by the Gemara itself, and where the Gemara had explained previously that the word huchshiru is even though it's a plural word, that in raising the possibility we thought it would cover the aver and the basar. Nevertheless, the word huchshiru can refer to two types of basar situations, but that's a reference to the meat that's dangling, but not a reference to the aver. And we're right now focusing on the aver, the dangling limb, not the dangling flesh. Ki solik Rabbi Zera ashkeche l'Rav Yirmiya bar Abba di Yosef v'ko'omar lo l'ho shmaitza. When Reb Zera came to Eretz Israel, he met Reb Yirmiya bar Abba saying over Rav's din. Rav's din, what was, and we had learned this above, that said ze veze osir, that if you have the limb is broken above the arkuva, and you don't have rove basar surrounding the break, so the limb and the animal are forbidden. Amale, Rabbi Zera, upon hearing this from Rabbi Yirmiyahu, he says, Yasher, strength be upon you. In other words, a statement of agreement. He says, V'chein tirguma Aryoch bebovel. Aryoch likewise said the same thing in Bovel. Aryoch monu, who is Aryoch? Shmuel. Shmuel is called by this, we'll say, nickname, Aryoch. Aryoch happened to be the name of a king found in the book of Bereishis, in the Chumash. So Shmuel was considered a king when it came to halachas. The Gemara asks, how can you say that Shmuel would say something in agreement with Rav Aha Miflag Palig? But we know Shmuel to have disagreed with Rav. The Gemara answers, Hadar be Shmuel legabe de Rav. But at a later point, Shmuel himself reversed his opinion to be in agreement now with Rav. Tana Rabbanan, Nishbar Ho'etzem V'yotza L'chutz. A leg bone broke, and it's protruding outwards. Im Or Ubosar Choyfen Esrubo Mutar. If skin and meat are covering the majority, then it's allowed. V'im Lav Osar. And if you don't have the majority being covered, it will be forbidden. V'kamo Rubo. When we speak about the majority, what is meant? How much is that? Kiyos Rabdimim Rabbi Yochanan, Rov Uvyo. We'll say the majority of the diameter. The diameter of the protruding bone is covered. The Amri Law, another approach is Rov Hekefo. A majority of the circumference of the protruding bone is surrounded by meat. Omar Rav Popo. Hilkoch. Rav Popo, in character with this type of situation in many other places in the Shas, he says, we will be stringent and require both. Bo'inon rov uvyo, uboinon rov hekefo. You need to have the majority of the diameter and a majority of the circumference to be covered or encased, as we have just mentioned. Once again, before, of course, going any further, we can't emphasize enough how valuable it would be to have illustrations as you are learning this sugya. Omar Ula, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, or Harehu Kebosar. The function of the skin will be the same as the meat. And we're talking in this context of if you have a situation where the surrounding flesh that surrounds the broken bone, for some reason the flesh is not there, but you have skin cover, serving as a cover, it will fulfill the same protective role, and the animal will still be kosher. Omar le Rav Nachman le'ula, v'leimo amor, why don't you say as follows, or mitztaref lebosar? This would be a more stringent approach, that the skin complements or completes the role of the bosar, which in other words would mean that you'd have to have, if you have half the break covered or encased by meat, then the other half the other half that is needed to be covered can be accomplished by the skin. In other words, a certain amount needs to be encased or covered. And we've spoken about the majority of the break must be protected. So that amount that must be protected, why say that the skin can replace or fulfill the role of the meat? Why not say, in a more stringent fashion, that the skin complements or works in conjunction with the meat? In other words, you have to have meat as serving as part of the surrounding protective material. And why am I suggesting this? Says Rav Nachman, Deha or Ubasar Katani. The lashon of the source that we read was or Ubasar, skin with meat, not skin instead of meat. Amale Ula says, responds Anan or O Basar Taninan. My version of that source has either or, not or together with. Iko the Amri. Now another version. Omar Ula. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Or Mitztaref Labasar. In this version, you can see that Ula is not saying that the or works instead of Basar, but rather, in this version, you have him saying that the or joins up with the Basar. This presentation of Ula is, language-wise, very similar to what Rav Nachman had said to Ula in the previous version. Now, in this version, after Ula says that or is Mitztaref Labasar, which we explained before meant half as far as the required protective amount, you'd have to have half or and half basar. So here Rav Nachman responds and says, "V'leimamar or mashlim labasar lechumra." Here an even more stringent or restrictive version, and that is that the or can function provided you have a majority of the protective meat in place. In other words, the majority of the protection is provided by the basar, by the meat, and the or will constitute the mute to, let's say, to complete the required protection area. Omale, so Ula responds, it says, Ano uvdo yodano, I know of an incident. Dava bar gozla, there was a bird, Dava bay Rabbi Yitzchok, that was in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yitzchok, or in the home of Rabbi Yitzchok, where there was a broken and protruding bone, and the case there was the or mitztaref lebasar have. It was a case of 50-50, where the or was quantity-wise the same amount as meat serving as the protection. The also the came to Rabbi Yochanan Be'achshrei, and the case came to Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan rendered it acceptable this way, where the or was the equivalent of the basar in serving as protection. Equivalent meaning protecting it simultaneously together with the basar. Amar Lei, Rav Nachman responds and says, you can't bring a proof from that particular incident. Bar Gozla Kamris, are you citing a case of a bird with a protruding bone? Bar Gozla, the Rochich Shiny. In the case of a bird, the skin is very soft and it has the same quality as basar. Therefore, it's considered like basar. However, in a behemoth, in an animal, if you have just a 50% meat together with 50% skin, that would not be sufficient protection. Hanohu Gidin Rakin, the Osu the Kame the Rabo. This is a case where you had some soft sinews that joined up with Bosar that were together, the sinews with the Bosar were covering rove of the bone, the majority of the protruding bone. This came to the presence of Rabo. Omar Rabo. Rabbo said, there should be no problem over here. Lamai lechushlu. What should bother us about this? In other words, there's nothing to worry about. Chada, the Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Gidin Shesoifon Lahakshas. Rabbi Yochanan said in describing sinews, there are sinews that that in the course of time they harden, but initially they are soft. Gidin like that, sinews that are like that, these are called soft sinews. Even if later they harden, when it comes to a Korban Pesach, and one is needs to eat from the meat of a Korban Pesach, and one has to be appointed to a group before he can before the meat is distributed, one is appointed. That's called, in this Gemara, Nimnin Aleim BePesach. Rashi says at the top, Nimnin Aleim, Dafilu lo Nimne Odom ima Chabura. Chabura is the group of people that eat a Korban Pesach. That even if he were not, let's say, appointed or considered a part of the group, Elo Lechol Mehen, and it was designated that he would eat the soft sinews, Yotso Yidei Achilas Pesach, he will fulfill his Pesach eating requirement. Alma Bosarninu. We see from this that the soft sinews are considered meat. This would be as opposed to a case where a person, let's say, joined a group and he was designated the hooves of the animal. The hooves is clearly not meat, but soft sinews are considered meat, and hence they would serve as a protection when dealing with our topic of the broken bone. The Oid, and furthermore, HaTorah Chosa Al Mamonon Shel Yisrael. If you don't consider the soft sinews as protective of the break, then we'll have to throw out the animal at a time that we know that the Torah, HaTorah Chosa, the Torah has compassion over Jewish possessions and property. So, in the interest of, let's say, keeping the animal considered kosher, otherwise it would have to be thrown out, that would be a loss, a financial loss. So based on this second consideration, he argues, we shall view the Gidin Harakin as Bosar in protecting the break. Amale Rav Papa L'Rava. Rav Papa responds to this particular approach, and he says, first of all, he says, Rav Shimon ben Lakish, the Isura Doraisa. We have the Shita of Rav Shimon ben Lakish, that Reish Lakish, he disagrees with regard to he disagrees with Rav Yochanan with regard to the Korban Pesach arrangement, and says that you can't fulfill your Pesach requirement by getting a portion of soft sinews, and you're dealing here with an Isur Doraisa, meaning we're dealing with the realm of Trefus. Trefus is a Torah area of restriction, of prohibition. The At Amris, and you are trying to argue my Lechush Lahu, and you're trying to say, well, what's there to worry about? There is plenty to worry about over here. Ishtik. So Rava did not respond. V'amai Ishtik. Why was he silent? V'ha'amar Rava, but Rava has been known to say, Hilchuso kavosei de Reb Shimon ben Lakish bahani tlas. The halacha follows Reish Lakish only in three areas of halacha, and Rashi enumerates them. They are Kinyan Peros, Choleis Nuberes, and Matona Be'emtza. Topics that we don't have to get into because it's just background material for understanding or appreciating this point, that only in those three areas do we follow Reish Lakish and not anywhere else. So why did Rava remain silent when Rav Papa raised an objection inciting Reish Lakish, when Reish Lakish is not a... Reish Lakish's opinion with regard to the Gidin Harakin should not present a threat or a challenge to the lenient ruling. The Gemara answers, I'll tell you why he was silent. Shaini Hocha, here it is different. The Hodar Bei Rav Yochanan Legabe the Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Because we know that Rav Yochanan himself, in the Pesach discussion, turned away from his original opinion to accept Reish Lakish's approach. And that's illustrated by what took place in the discussion there regarding the Pesach. The Omar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, Al Takniteni, don't try to, let's say, infuriate me or question me, because Beloshon Yochid Ani Shoina Oisa, that source that you are trying to raise an objection, the source that you are raising as an objection, I in fact learn it as a shita of a yochid, an individual shita. Let us take a look at the Rashi to appreciate this a little bit more. Rashi in the narrow line says Shaini Hocha, the upper part of the Rashi commentary, Shaini Hocha, the Hoder by Rabbi Yochanan, Migidin Horakin. Rabbi Yochanan withdrew his original approach to the soft sinews, V'omar. Call midi de seifan akshos, baser sof aslinan. In fact, things that eventually turn hard, we look at them now as if they are hard. And in the case of the sinews, they may be soft now, but they turn hard. That would be reason for considering them non-meat. Now, what happened with regard to Shitas Rabbi Yochanan? The Meikar Avesomach Rabbi Yochanan Ahodisnan, originally Rabbi Yochanan in saying that the soft sinews, even though they turn hard, are considered soft and considered like meat, and would, in our case, protect the bone. Then, at that point, he was relying on that which it teaches later in this Masichta, Behor Vorot, of the name of a Perek later on. It says there, Or Horoi Shel Egel Horach Havi Kebosor Letumas Oichlin Unevelis. The skin of the head of a young calf is like meat with regard to Tumas Oichlin and Nevelis. The Afagav de Soifu Lahakshos, even though later it turns hard, as the animal gets older, it becomes hard. The Hodarbe, and then Rabbi Yochanan withdrew, and the Ukmalahi Kiyachido, he said that source in Maseches Chulin, which describes that which gets hard later as being soft, because you look at things as they are right now. Well, that's the opinion of an individual, but I wouldn't paskin like that, and hence you find that Rabbi Yochanan himself would in effect be viewing the Gidin Harakin like Reish Lakish views it, and therefore to say that we paskin like Reish Lakish in only three areas and not in this, that wouldn't be accurate, because in this case, looking at the Gidin Harakin as no longer rakin, but as rather as hard, isn't a function of paskin like Reish Lakish anymore. It's a function of even Rabbi Yochanan himself looks at things this way, and therefore, Rav Papa's objection to the leniency is still withstanding. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.